During the Switch, Pivot, or Quit chat, we talk to women that have successfully navigated through some of the plot twist years of life and are eager to share their stories and what they've learned in the hopes of inspiring, teaching, or making even the slightest impact by candidly owning their truth. Hey girl, hey, and thanks for dropping in to the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. Candid convo for the girl needing a lifestyle plot twist when she's deciding if it's time to switch, pivot, or quit. I'm Ayana Angel, a former sports entertainment publicist in New York City, turned traditionally published author with Simon & Schuster, who quit my old life to write a book, live in London for a bit, and explore my dreams to find my happiness and fulfillment. I'm here to help encourage and guide you through your plot twist years as your chief encourager and host of the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. On this episode, we're chatting with Aram Hirst, who is a personal chef and author of Culinary Cool, Everyday Food, in addition to being the curator of Lesbian the Kitchen on Instagram. Aram likes to make it easy for fellow foodies by using simple foods in her recipes because it's about the journey, not the destination with food. However, Aram is all too familiar with the journey, having gone from a 10-year career in TV production to now working in HR career recruiting for a food company. So let's welcome Aram to the show. Aram, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. So let's jump right into it and tell us how we got to where we are today. Let's start with how you got started, first off, in television production.
Oh, yeah, that's a crazy story. So I'm from Detroit. I went to college for television and digital media. Once I graduated, after being kicked out of school three times, definitely on the super senior accelerated program of just not quite focusing. My original major was international business. And finally, after two or three years, I was like, hey, mom, I'm really going to do this TV thing. And she's like, you're not going to make any money. She was accurate. But so I switched, finally graduated, moved to L.A. in 2005, 2006. Okay. And worked in reality TV for 11 years. It was a crazy journey. Like, literally moved there, packed up my truck, $2,000 in my pocket. All my friends are like, you've never even been to California. What are you talking about? Where are you going? And I just knew that I didn't want to do local news or local TV. And New York is very much theater, or at that time, you know, soap operas or things like that. In my head, so I was like, California, I have to be in California to make TV. So yeah, I loaded up the car, and you know, in life, a lot of things happen. Even that week, my truck was broken into, and there was $1,000 right there, and just all these other obstacles that will pop up. And went out there with the little bit of money I had, and that first year was miserable, like crying on the phone every day to friends, wanted to come home, like, no, this isn't going to work out. And every friend's like, no, you're going to stay put.
Yeah, but you kept going, right? You just kept going.
I kept going, and, thankfully my internship from Michigan turned into a job in California, so I freelanced for my first year, and then I finally got my first production gig, which was like one day a week. And then I also did, like you see the people in the suits on the red carpet with the, like the earpieces, like kind of security. I hooked up with them. So I literally had three jobs that first year in LA.
Wow.
And yeah, it turned into 11 years of working in reality TV. And most people, you know, the goal is to be a super producer. That's your plan. You're going to be a super producer, and you're going to do your thing, and you're going to be Steven Spielberg and all these things in your head. And then when it doesn't quite pan out, you have to go, oh, but you did 11 years in L.A., and that's not easy. And so many people come and go in L.A. So many friends, you know, say, hey, it's not working out, but I'll be back, and they never come back.
Right.
So I had to take pride in, after 11 years, when it did all crash and burn, I went, oh, but I did have an 11-year career.
Right. And that's a huge accomplishment. Like you said, that's more than most people would be able to manage. Did you work on any shows that you care to mention? Anything you think we might know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I worked on Hell's Kitchen, Dancing with the Stars, dog shows, so many things. Lover Ray J, New York, a lot of different TV. I can't even remember it all.
So it was a variety then.
Yeah, it was a variety. So okay. I would, you know, literally in reality TV, you most shows film for about 6 weeks max, maybe 8 weeks if it's a you know, challenge show or shows like that. So you're constantly moving around and bouncing around. And the upsetting thing is, not one time in 11 years did anyone ask to see that TV degree. It's a business of, if you know your stuff, then you'll be working.
So did you almost feel like I could have just skated and never went to college for this and gotten the same job?
Oh, absolutely.
Wow. Because a lot of it is who you know, too, and being at the right place at the right time and just that time.
It is. And kind of also, I mean, of course, if you're going to be an editor and those type of things, you want to go and learn your craft and you want to master that. That's absolutely, you know. But even, you know, my friends that are cameramen or audio people, you know, you get with the right people and you can learn all of that on the fly. And if your instincts are good, you'll be okay. No one ever asked to exceed the expensive piece of paper for TV production.
That's hilarious. So ultimately, did you make a decision to quit production for the food industry, was it just by circumstance? And if you did make a decision to quit, can you tell us what that process was like? Because now you've kind of shifted gears. So did you make a decision to quit?
No. So I didn't make a decision to quit. So 11 years is a very long time, a very long hustle. Basically, what happened in my case, big production companies started to buy the smaller reality TV companies, and it was just more challenging to find work. And then also at the same time, I was like, okay, I'll just transition into, you know, legit TV and sitcom and this and that. And honestly, LA is a very segregated town. Like they were like, you worked in reality TV for 10 years. That's your lane. And I'm just like, no, I'm a creative.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? So I was out of work. I ended up being out of work for 2 years before I eventually left LA. And in that 2 years, I think I was 34 at the time. I'm 38 now. So in that transition of being out of work and looking and being depressed and being like, wow, didn't see this coming, you know, for my mid-30s, I started to cook. Not that I didn't cook, but I started to just really get into it. And then I would post the pictures on my personal Instagram. And my friends were like, hey, you really need to do something with this food. And I was just like, okay, this is interesting. So my best friend Devin and I kind of sat down and were like, well, what can we do within our capabilities and figure out how to do? And we were like, it shouldn't be too hard to, you know, put a book out. We got this. We're creatives. We can totally figure out how to put out a book. And, you know, we were brainstorming, and she actually came up with Lesbian in the Kitchen. And at first I was like, nah, I really don't want to touch that title. I'm very comfortable in my sexuality. Always have been. Well, once you come out and you get to that stage. But I don't like labels. And I never have. So I was just like, I don't really know if I want to identify that way. And she's like, no, it's a play on words. It's let's be in the kitchen, let's be in the kitchen. Right. I was like, okay, let's do that. So we put the name together. I put the Instagram page together. And, yeah, I just started, you know, feeding it content and food and my personality and the journey of, at that point, still being out of work. I had moved to Seattle. And then it was still out of work. Still out of work and literally sleeping on my friend's couch. And him just being like, okay, wow, life is crazy. And me going, yeah, it is. And eventually I stumbled into food recruiting. But in that whole process is when the page was born, is when the first cookbook was born, because, I mean, honestly, it gave me an outlet. It gave me something to focus on and not have to be, you know, super depressed every day. And, yeah, you know, I literally sent out thousands of resumes. I went on, like, in Seattle, I went on over 30 interviews before I landed a job. So it was my outlet, and it really was a saving grace. And, yeah, I came up with Culinary Cool Everyday Food, and I put that ebook out, I guess, almost 2.5 years ago now.
I definitely like that. I'm glad that you listened to your friend and went with the Let's Be in the Kitchen, because it's catchy. It's catchy. It's memorable. It works. And I guess when you think of just being expressive and being a creative, like, you get it. You know, it's just like, okay,
right,
I get where she's coming from. So during sort of like this transition period where all these different things were happening and taking shape, and, you know, I call it the plot twist years, because I feel like it's like, it's like the cousin to like this quarter life crisis, you know, like when I was approaching 25, I had like this, I was living in LA as well. And I was working in cable TV. I was working at the Game Show Network at the time. And I knew that I wanted to do have a bigger role in PR. I was working in marketing, but I was like, oh, I have to get a job at like a PR agency. And as soon as my 25th birthday started to come around, it was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? You know, it was just like this. Yeah, it was like this panic. And that was the first time I was really introduced to like this whole quarter life crisis concept. But then I quickly realized as the years continued on that this is not just something that comes and goes. It's like, I really feel like we enter our plot twist years after that, because things happen that we can't anticipate. And sometimes we want things to happen. We feel stuck and things like that. So for you, when you were going through this period of transition and trying to figure things out, what were some of the things that you would do to keep yourself going and keep yourself sort of like motivated and positive?
Again, the food was the positivity and being able to keep going and having the Let's Be in the Kitchen page be that funnel and that outlet and me being able to be transparent and say, hey, yeah, today sucks, and starting to get that feedback from the page like, hey, your smile brightens our day, and me going, okay, well, someone else is getting a better day because I'm pushing forward. So that literally was the focus and the saving grace in those 2 years of being unemployed.
Wow. That's awesome. Because a lot of times people look at social media now as a space of comparison, and sometimes it can bring about some of the negative, but for you, it did the opposite. It was a positive thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, yeah, right now, and me and my chef friends kind of talk about this, and my creative friends, everyone wants to be famous off of social media right now. And it's not that for me. I just simply enjoy cooking. I simply enjoy being myself. And I literally forget about the page. Like, literally, I was at a concert on Monday, and someone came up to me, and they were like, hey, you're Let's Be in the Kitchen. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, I forgot, because I'm just Aram. I post my food, and I go. But I do enjoy the fact that the page gives people something to look forward to, and I can help someone have a good day, for sure.
Yeah, that's good. So when you sort of decided to embark on this food direction, were your family and friends supportive or not?
For sure. I mean, I've always been me, so they know I'm going to do me and I'm going to move how I'm going to move. So the support has always been there. My friends are amazing. My family is amazing. You know, I have some of the most amazing friends in the world who let me be me. You know, I'm a tourist, so I'm kind of very much independent, and I do my thing. And when I need to lean on them, they're there. Even my friend in Seattle, that was like probably the first human in my adult life that I literally was like, oh, I need to ask someone for help. And it's not because I don't have those people to do it. It's just my character is to just depend on myself. But they rock with me, and they have my back, and I love them to death, and they keep me from jumping off a curb all the time.
That's great. That's great for sure. So what's the number one key, that, in your opinion, to embracing change?
Ooh, embracing change. I think the secret to embracing change is, when everything is going wrong, change everything. That's my motto. Mm-hmm. It's the way I've been able to function and move through life, because it's never going to be consistent. So even though change may suck, you got to do it.
Yeah. Don't resist it, right?
Yeah, you can't resist it, because that's one of the things too. I probably should have left LA before LA pushed me out. But so afraid to make that move and to kind of figure out what's next, because your brain is kind of stuck in whatever mode you're in. Like, if you're a teacher, if you're this, if you're that, you're like, no, this is the goal. This was the plan. So when you fight to hold on to the plan, mm-hmm. you're really causing yourself harm and not really trying to figure out what's next. And so now I'm no longer afraid of that. I only was in Seattle for 2 years. Now I'm based in Washington, D.C., and it'll be a year actually in like 11 days. And this won't be my final stop. You know, my goal is to maybe go back to the West Coast, and then my next stop, I want to leave the country. So you just have to be able to be like, nope, this is not working. Yeah. And whatever changes, small or large, that needs to happen in your life, you just got to pull the trigger and do it.
Right. Yeah, that absolutely makes sense, because sometimes we just get stuck and we're in that fear, like, just holds us there. And that fear is like, oh, I don't know what things will be like if I switch it up or if I change. But sometimes you just got to go with it. It makes life easier. So we know that you're all about the journey. You talk about that when it comes to your food. And, you know, for us, can you sum up in one word what your journey has been like up until now?
One word.
Yeah, one word to sum up your journey. Pressure.
God, that's a good gosh. Adventurous. I'll go with that.
Okay. That makes sense from everything that you said, and considering that, you know, you've done some moving in the course of, you know, from being, when you just got out of college and everything, and sort of made that move to LA, you've done some hopping around since then. So adventurous. We get it. All right.
Yeah. It's adventurous. Yeah. Never boring.
Yeah, but that's good, though. When you look back on life, it's like, okay, I had an adventure. I wasn't just complacent. I didn't just let things happen to me. So, you know, that's dope.
Absolutely. I have this saying that I always tell people, especially when they look at me like, wait, you're like on your fourth city in life. I literally say, listen, I do not want to live the same life 99 years in a row.
Holla.
So, and that's just me. That's just me. You know, somebody might want to do the same thing day in and day out. I don't think any of our spirits naturally want to do that.
Right.
But I don't want to wake up at 99 and go every single day was the same. And absolutely, I'll be 39 in May. It has not been the same.
So you have a good track record so far.
I have a good track record so far.
Yeah. At this point, have you figured out your why in life?
You know, I think I've figured out half of the why.
Okay. Would you want to share it with us?
Yeah, absolutely. I think half of the why, the pace kind of gives me this sense of, you know, again, I'm a vessel for other people to push through their moments. A lot of times, you know, I suffer from panic disorder and anxiety, and that, you know, definitely comes with depression, because anxiety sucks. And a lot of times when I'm transitioning and going through hard times, I'm always smiling, and no one really knows what's going on in my world. And when I post a selfie that's a smile on that page, and someone goes, yo, your smile made my day better, or this happened, or if I do share a little bit more of my personal information on that page and it affects someone, I go, okay, that's a why of why I'm doing this right now. Now the total why, I don't have that just yet.
All right. That's good enough. Cause I mean, it's touching people, and that's another, I like that we're able to explore some of the really good ways that social media has an impact on not just, you know, your followers, but you as well, because I'm sure that them interacting with you keeps you going too. It's like, okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's been a two-way street for sure. It's like, I don't like to say fans or anything like that. I'm just like, yo, you guys are friends. I just haven't met yet. Yeah. I mean, don't run up on me because I don't like strange danger. But I definitely appreciate the energy exchange that I get back from them, you know, whether they're leaving comments or, you know, they support, you know, buying a book or whatever the case may be. It's a two-way street for sure.
Mm-hmm. And on Instagram, you're very unapologetically you. Have you always been like that, or was it something that you had to grow into?
So a lot of people don't ever believe that I'm an introvert. So I'm very much an introvert that's really good at being an extrovert. And I have a twin sister.
So really?
I'm a twin. So my twin was always the present personality. It's four of us, so older brother, older sister, and then me and my twin. So I kind of would fall back. I'm very much a fallback personality. I didn't get my unapologetic side until definitely I moved to LA and I was away from home, and you know, the LA will shape you into something. So, because LA, there's literally no room to be fake. I used to tell people this all the time. Like, if someone's an asshole, you're going to see it out the gate in LA because you don't have time, because everyone is in that rat race. Mm-hmm. So LA helped shape that. And then you get a little bit older and you kind of just go, I really don't care. I'm going to be respectful. I'm going to give people respect if you give it back to me. But then at the same time, I might cuss you out and tell you get off my page if you're coming out your neck sideways. You know, if I'm ever in the wrong, I'll come and be like, oh, my bag. Or definitely with comments, the thing that happens, and even I do it, we add tone to something. Mm-hmm. So when you add tone, then you're about to take it a certain way. And so that's how everybody gets out of pocket on social media. Like, damn, you added some tone, and that wasn't really meant that way. But for the times that I absolutely, you know, give no fucks, I give no fucks. And I'll check you, and I'll let people know what it is, for sure. Mm-hmm. I don't have any energy but to be real.
Right. So if you were, like, let's say, discovered from your Instagram page tomorrow, and someone offered you the opportunity to have like your own cooking show, would something like that be a dream for you, or do you have your sights set on like another direction when it comes to being like a chef?
Listen, I would, and I tell people this all the time, I would love to be the lesbian Anthony Bourdain. I would love to travel the world.
Yeah.
Eat food and talk shit. Like, I would absolutely love to, I really would love to have my own show and cross blend, you know, the different things that I love of food and conversation and people. And yeah, that would be dope. In the meantime, I cook because it makes me happy. So, you know, I'm starting to do a lot more clients. I'm starting to do bigger events. I have my first lesbian wedding this year that I'm going to be cooking for in the fall. So I'm excited about that. My lane right now is to just kind of just produce good food. Again, like I said, a lot of people are kind of hopping out here and wanting to be celebrity chefs and all this jazz. And like, I swear overnight, I'm like, Instagram got a whole lot of chefs in the last 4 years.
Whole lot of everything.
Whole lot of everything.
Yeah. Yep.
Right. everybody want to be something now. And it's not about that for me. It's about, you know, if I've done it before. I've paused that page and kind of thought about, like, what do I want to do? I'm fine with deleting that page and just, you know, cooking and living life with my friends. Like, I would be very content with that. The end goal would be a nice little small restaurant on a beach in Thailand. Like, hey, where's Aaron? Where's the best chicken at the end of the beach? But that is definitely the, like I said, I want to leave the country. That's a goal. So that's my lane with food right now. I'm working on the second cookbook right now. So I'll put that out hopefully for Christmas.
And tell us the name of the second cookbook.
Bacon, Bitches, and Breakups.
I'm not going to lie. I just wanted you to say that. Because I read the name and I was like, this is catchy. I was like, thank you. Who would think to put bacon, bitches, and breakups all in the same way? And what is it gonna be about?
So Bacon, Bitches, and Breakups was actually supposed to come out last year, I think. But every time I said the title out loud to myself, every time I said the title to anybody else, everyone stops in their tracks. So I knew that I had to really take my time with this and really put some effort into it. It's going to be a little different. It's going to definitely be, you know, about 40 to 50 recipes, all bacon, all pork. So vegetarians, leave me alone. it's going to be all bacon, all pork, but it's also going to have dating tips. It's also going to have maybe a couple of my crazy moments with women. There's one crazy, crazy story that would be in there. It's like the only one that ever happened to me in my whole dating life. But yeah, it's going to be that combo, which I don't think has ever been done. And I know, and feminists, leave me alone. Like, bitches, it just fits. I adore women.
But it works.
It works in the title. So, you know, hopefully no one comes for me because then I got to come for you and nobody wants that.
Right.
But I'm excited to put that together. And my goal is to put it out right before Christmas.
Okay. So for you, what does success mean or look like for you?
Success right now, honestly, just means being able to cook full time in any capacity and just enjoy that. Enjoy cooking, enjoy my friends, you know, drink my whiskey, travel the world. If I can get to that level of freedom, that's success.
Okay, that makes sense. So, you know, we know that you said you adore women, and I want to find out from you why women supporting women is an important thing to you.
That is crucial. You know, right now, I've only been in D.C. for like a year, and we'll just say from the Instagram chef movement, it's a boys' town. You know, it's and then if you think about it, it's always a boys club anywhere you go. White, black, Asian type, doesn't matter. So, you know, being able to say, hey, let me support other women doing whatever it is they're doing is extremely important, because if we don't, who's going to do it? It's like, if I'm hating on another woman, then what's the point? If I'm hating on any other human, then what's the point? But definitely women that are, you know, trying to do anything, whether it's a creative field or, you know, regular profession, it's like, hey, no, I got your back. Like, if I can help, I can help. Period. Yeah. That's how I feel about it. I've always, like, in my spare time, I mentor, whether it's young boys or young girls, but definitely young women, like, hey, make sure your head's on straight, do this, this, and this, and make sure you're going to support the next sister that's behind you. That's extremely important.
So when you're mentoring, do you have candid conversations with your mentees about just like career and choosing a career and things like that? Because I'm sure that when you decided to go into television production, you would have never imagined yourself in the space that you're in right now, which happens to a lot of people. Things drastically change. So do you talk to them about, you know, just like really honing in on what they enjoy and things like that, and how things can potentially change?
Absolutely. I joke with my friends all the time and say, yo, if I was a teacher, I would be so dope because I literally keep it real. Like, like any young person I come into contact with, I'm like, yo, oh, you're about to go to college? Let me talk to you. Oh, you're going to like follow your passions and try to graduate with French Lit? Don't. Find a career that's going to be around for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. Yeah. And then do the passion on the side. Like, no, you have to absolutely keep it honest and real with younger generations, because if you aren't clear cut on what this adulting is about, this here adulting is rough. Like, it's,
it plays no game.
So, you know, that's a disservice if you're talking to a young person and you're going to sugarcoat it. Like, no, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to be real with you. And we're going to go from there, because, you know, any younger person I'm around, I'm like, listen, you do not want to have these conversations with yourself at 35. And then you look back like, dog, someone told me this at 25. Like, someone told you this at 25, and now you had 10 years to do something different. Right. So anytime I can take that moment and I can help shave off some mistakes, I'm going to do that. Like, I'm going to totally help you, you know, miss some potholes for sure if I can.
And since you do have the background in TV production, do you think that you'll ever sort of try and create your own lane and get back into that, but incorporate the food element of things?
I mean, I would love to. And it's been an interesting thing of, like, you know, since I had 11 years in TV, then why haven't I figured out how to produce my own projects? but it's just not that clear cut. It's like, you know, anything takes money. So anything takes money. And then trying to find, you know, the right partners that sees your vision and gets it. Like, I have, what, over 15,000 followers right now organically, which to me is a great true number. I have, you know, followers literally from around the world. And, it, you know, you would love to be able to find someone that says, do you see what this brand is and what it's missing from the market? But it just doesn't happen like that. And I've had my, you know, fair share of a couple people, you know, seeing the vision, but don't want to put the work in, whether it's like a PR person or this. And it's like, well, I can do all that myself. I've been doing all that myself. So, you know, okay. Yeah, I would love to, you know, produce my own thing and cross blend and figure it out. And it's not, you know, lack of trying to figure it out and reaching out to people. It just hasn't manifested just yet.
And so with the HR career recruiting in the food industry that you're working on right now, do you see crossover happening for that? Was that like a strategic move for you because of the interest in food?
No, that was all like divine and accidental. So when I got to Seattle, and like I said, I sent out over, I don't know, like thousands of resumes. I was sending like 100 a day. I didn't even care if I was qualified. Like, oh, heart surgeon? Send. I don't care.
come on in. I'll hook you up.
On Indeed and LinkedIn, like click, 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 click. Mod Pizza reached out to me and asked me to come in for an interview. And I'm like, I have no HR background. What are you talking about? And they're like, well, you worked in reality TV and, you know, we like to hire interesting people. So come have a conversation with us. I was like, oh, great. Cool. So I got there, got hired. They had 24 restaurants at the time. I opened 100 restaurants for them, hired like 3,000 people, and we were only like a 3-person department. And the CEOs of that company, Scott and Allie, are amazing. You know, they bought my cookbook. They would tell people, like, hey, get Aaron's cookbook. And so falling into food recruiting, it was definitely random. And it just has all kind of worked out. And I'm in D.C., recruiting for a German grocery chain called Lidl. You know, I don't know if I'll stay with food recruiting, but the fact that it's kind of a perfect marriage right now. You know, I get to be in the circles of food, and then I still get to do my thing with food. So it's kind of dope how the universe kind of does things sometimes.
Absolutely, absolutely. So what's one thing that lets you know that you're living life on your terms and you're living a life according to her?
Most of my friends know this about me. I don't do structure and I don't do rules. I'm very great at staying in between those lines. And, you know, I like to say I'm the most irresponsible, responsible person you'll ever meet. Like, oh, she just must drink whiskey and eat bacon 24/7 and she has no fucks. And yeah, that is a very strong part of my personality. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I wake up every day at 5 a.m. and I carry my ass to work and I do this. And, you know, I care about my teammates, you know, when I'm at work. And but life, according to me, is staying true to, you know, my character and my personality and not bending and not shifting to anything. I'm going to always, like, walk through this life on my own terms, no matter what. Again, if I'm ever wrong, if I ever need to adjust, I'll do that on my own terms. not within what someone else wants me to do. So, yeah, I just simply march to my own damn drum, and I don't care about the consequences because I know I'm marching in a correct beat.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay. So, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You're giving us that fearless vibe with that answer.
Yeah.
All about that. I mean, all about that. You have to own it.
If Trump can get into office, we all can do whatever right about now.
Right, right. There's no limits.
There are no limits.
Absolutely.
Just don't go to jail. That's like it.
Exactly. The one boundary. If you guys want to drool all over your phone or get some recipe ideas, be sure to check out Arum on Instagram at lesbinthekitchen, and that's LESBINTHE. You know how to spell kitchen. There you go. Arum, thank you so much for chatting with us and sharing your story with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you guys for so much for hanging out with us. And be sure to subscribe if you like what you've been hearing. And as always, keep killing it.